Diversifying your farming operation can be a key to success. Maybe an electric tractor might be involved if you're a smaller scale in the future, but finding that right idea can be a challenge. On their farm in Deira Iachtar in Aca Uachtaráid, Gunté na Galava, John and Kate O'Sullivan run a sheep farm with 200 ewes. John learnt the importance of diversification early in life, and for the past 30 years, this farm has also been growing blueberries for the commercial market. For this year's harvest, they have even invited the public to pick the berries themselves. But now they are experimenting with a new type of superfood berry, the Aronia berry. Trasa Rechnik went to meet them and taste a few berries on our behalf.
I should have warned you about all the potholes. You've seen them before. I'm
well
sure.
Used to potholes.
Yeah. So, Paris John, this is the old house.
Oh, wow.
And this is my wife, Kate.
Hi.
So Kate, this is Trasa.
Lovely to meet you, Kate. How are you?
This place is amazing.
So you've kept the old house and just built around it.
Yeah. So whenever I was growing up, there was a sheep dipping pen here.
Yeah.
And a cattle crush out the back.
This farm has been in your family for an awful long time then, has it?
Yeah. So my father would have bought the farm back in the 1960s. And at that time would have been predominantly sheep. Over the years then, we'd have got into cattle for a period of time. And then eventually in the mid-70s, we started to harvest turf commercially for the power station Scrieb. That taught us a valuable lesson about diversification, because we invested a lot in equipment, in sheds and so on to develop that enterprise. And the power station closed in the 1980s, which meant that we were essentially without an income stream and we have all this equipment, et cetera, et cetera. And I suppose from that time, we have always tried to, I suppose, move into an area that will keep us diverse, such that if one particular enterprise stream were to suffer, for example, the price of sheep or the price of blueberries, we always have other ones to, I suppose, rely on, if you will.
Kate is here at the table as well. And Kate, you're organising the blueberries at the moment. Can you tell me what you're doing?
We picked them today. It was very wet. So we had to take them out and then lay them out and then take a towel over so that they are dried. And then we sort them into ones that would be good for sale, I guess, mm-hmm. I suppose. And then we put the other ones into the other pile. They're like a second class, so they're good for jam and baking.
How do you sell them or how do you market them?
Mainly we go to local. Some local restaurants or local hotels. And I do some stuff on Instagram as well, just to create awareness. And then there is a word of mouth as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not huge enterprise by any means. It's very local.
The local enterprises have been very supportive. And without that, we really wouldn't have what we have today.
It's actually lucky with the weather now. Oh, it's gorgeous now, isn't it?
Okay. Well,
but how did the blueberries grow here?
So it's interesting, if the soil is too wet or if it's too cold, let's say in certain conditions they don't do well, but in other conditions they grow surprisingly well. What we found is that there is a certain amount of a nutrient deficiency in the ground. Traditionally we're applying, you know, nitrogen and other, I suppose, elements to try and boost that that nutrient load to increase the fruit threshold, mm-hmm. and that worked quite well. But when we went organic, of course, we didn't have that channel anymore. So what we've been doing now this year is actually using sheep's wool as our fertilizer source.
And have you noticed any difference in the yield?
The yield has improved. We've noticed that the actual berries seem to smell a bit better, taste a bit better, in our opinion anyway.
Yeah.
So I must say, it shows that nature truly has all the solutions, and the wool has been a real win-win-win. We have about 400 blueberry bushes, and this is the main plantation here in front of us. Looks like, I suppose, somewhat like a vineyard in a way. Mm. And you can see that, a lot of deterrence for birds, because the berries are sweet and the birds are very keen to get in here. So that's our primary challenge, to keep them out.
Some of the blueberries, they look to me to be fairly ripe, and some others are completely green. What kind of time frame are we looking at there between the two?
So we started harvesting just over 2.5 weeks ago. And
just going to have a berry here.
Now I'd say we're probably at the midpoint of the season.
Gorgeous.
The berries are, let's just say, coming on very well. And what you're trying to do here at the moment is you look at a cluster and then you try and identify the ones that are actually bigger than others. So you see this one here is bigger than its adjacent berries. It also has a kind of a greyish sheen on it, and that's a sign that it's actually fully ripe.
And so tell me, you have diversified this year.
I suppose we have seen the success of the blueberries, and they are one of the recognised superfoods. So we're looking at other possible berries in that superfood category. And one that's, I suppose, attracted our attention is the aronia berry, also known as a chokeberry. It's quite bitter. We'll have to have you sample one in a moment to see how you enjoy that experience. So it's very high in polyphenols, which is a very effective antioxidant. The ultimate authority in Ireland on aronia berries is a gentleman called Dr. Steve Collins, a good friend based in Bantry and Cork. We're working with Steve. He has established Aronia Ireland, and they are basically the ones that have done the research and developed a range of products from aronia berries. So we are in that experimentation phase. We'd have 40 bushes here at the moment on the farm in different soil conditions, different locations, to try and establish what's most suitable for the aronia berry. This was planted here in March this year. So it's pretty astounding, number one, how much it's grown. It's also astounding the density of berries on the bush. And what's really intriguing as a farmer is the fact that all the fruit has ripened simultaneously.
And they look very similar to the blueberry. They're black, almost in colour, aren't they, really?
Yes.
And they're known for their taste, are they?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily positively, but...
No, I'm having one right now, and it's quite bitter, and I'd encourage you to try it yourself, Trasa, just to see what you think, okay, to give us an objective, independent opinion on the taste.
Okay, I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, I've tried first. You should survive, I'd say. But do you feel healthy?
It's okay. I'm not going to say it's particularly bitter. I'm kind of thinking of sloes. I've eaten sloes off the bush, yeah, and it's nothing near that.
No, it's not. No, it's probably more akin to, I suppose, a blackcurrant in terms of its sharpness and so on. You know, for a farmer that has marginal land that wouldn't be great for supporting maybe, say, sheep or cattle, this could be a way to diversify into something that would have, you know, we believe, quite a good income. The line of sight seems to be towards health food shops and certain other e-commerce streams where people could, you know, buy direct. Again, we're in the experimentation phase, but at this point in time, it looks like there could be a great solution for paludiculture.
Paludiculture, what a word. But we are becoming more familiar with it, and it's all about growing crops on undrained peatlands. And that was John and Kate O'Sullivan talking to Trasa Vretnach on their farm.